My son is in the audience. And one of the things I really like about this year is that I have seen hackers carrying around babies, and I've seen parent hackers bringing teenager hackers. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is the lifeboat. You guys energize me, because the stuff I tell you that you cheer, when I say this in Washington, they shit in their pants, or they say, oh, fuck, who is this lunatic? But we're making progress. All right, now this year, because I've done this three times now, I've decided to give you a very fast brief, and here it is. If you Google in Google News for hackers and steal, you will get a press release that gives you tiny URLs to both of the briefs that I've given at this conference, except that the first brief I added two slides, and I'll update that tomorrow. Well, these are the elements of intelligence. Your government is fucking stupid. Okay? Brief history of intelligence, secret war, strategic analysis, smart nation. Smart nation is about collective intelligence. This isn't me. This is guys like Tom Attlee that has the Co-Intelligence Institute. This is guys like Howard Rheingold that's written about smart mobs. This is about whatever his name is. I can't pronounce it. It's like Polish on steroids. Wisdom of the Crowds, Army of Davids. Okay, the internet has empowered the people. Right now there is a race between Dick Cheney and white-collar criminals on Wall Street and us with the internet. And that's what I want to win. So, you wouldn't believe this, but your government spends $60 billion a year on the 5% of the information they can steal, and they don't spend shit on open sources in 183 languages. We like to operate out of embassies, diplomatic cover. So when we steal code books, the entire CIA station comes in at 5 o'clock at night. The foreign guards call local liaison, say, hey, CIA's working tonight. Local liaison watches the airwaves and sees the mass communications between the embassy and the embassy, our embassy, U.S. embassy, and the embassy that we're stealing a code book from. Hello, this is not rocket science. The next morning, they walk into the ambassador and say, hi, CIA was in your office last night. And you can ask me later about how we walk through walls and all that good shit. We don't fucking process what we collect. And, oh, by the way, what we collect is less than 10% of what we need to know. No data standards, although I got to tell you, there is one small, tiny part of the U.S. intelligence community that I like, the chief information officer. Major General Mayor Rose is not only into data standards and sharing, he shocked CIA security officers by having a forum open to foreigners. What a concept. We don't tag all of our stuff. In 1988, I told the intelligence, 1988, that's like the last century, okay? I told the intelligence community, if you don't have fucking geospatial attributes on every datum, you cannot do real-time all-source processing that says, tell me everything there is to know about this click going back 200 years. Hello? Sorry, I'm getting excited. It's all these black T-shirts. They really turn me on. All right. So, no interoperability, no all-source sharing. Now, I'm going to go through these real fast because we want to get to this thing. Emphasis on security instead of answers. Would you believe this? CIA security is so fucking stupid, it is based on guys with high school educations that have gotten promoted by checking safes at night, that they insist on hiring high school kids from Kansas that are virgins who have never talked to a foreigner. This is a very small group, okay? And once you're a CIA analyst, if you dare to call a foreigner in the country you're responsible for, you get investigated. Hello? We're focused on threats instead of opportunities. Now, in my earlier speech, I talked about the 10 threats the United Nations has identified, and I'll end with that. The bottom line is that the U.S. government is focused on less than 20% of what matters. We focus on local now instead of global future. This is symptomatic of Wall Street owning the U.S. government. We don't impact on the budget. If you really want to know what the U.S. budget and policy is, actually, if you want to know what U.S. policy is, you look at the budget. I'll tell you what U.S. policy is on Homeland Security today. It is pork combined with incompetence. Okay? This is a no-bullshit statement. This is well-documented in the literature. Your policymakers don't know shit about the real world. They know about winning votes in their local constituencies where pinheads elect pinheads. That's what we have to change. Are we having fun yet? All right. Part of the problem, and I love you guys because, you know, you energize me. You really do. I feel blessed that I somehow got hooked up with this. I can't even remember. Maybe Wynn Schwartown recommended me to Emmanuel. Senator Boren, David something or other, Bergen maybe, have both talked about the need to internationalize U.S. education. Now, we all know, and I absolutely love that anarchist poster, Schools as Prisons, which is why I've brought my son here to set him free. But the fact of the matter is, U.S. schools suck. All right? They were created to build factory workers. And that's one of the things we've got to change. So my vision for national intelligence is, I'm going to take the $60 billion, I'm going to cut the spies to $20 billion, I'm going to put the other $40 billion in education, including online, distance learning, and so forth. Believe it or not, U.S. intelligence doesn't impact on what we buy. When I stood up the Marine Corps Intelligence Command, I looked at the real world. And, oh, by the way, we buy airplanes for a warm day that is not humid. The real world is hot and humid. This means that our airplanes built by very expensive airplanes have half the lift, half the loiter, and half the range as advertised. All right? We're not building airplanes to a real world. And, oh, by the way, there's a reason why European companies don't sell trucks to the third world that weigh more than 30 tons. So why do we have a 97-ton artillery system? Okay, or a 45-ton M1A1, which invented the concept of gallons per mile? Okay. The U.S. government is stupid. It really is literally stupid. I'm not saying the people are stupid. I'm saying the system is stupid. We haven't impacted on the private sector. Microsoft should never have been a lawsuit. Microsoft should have been a fucking standard that say you have open APIs or we'll kill you. We build these extremely complex systems that have absolutely no provision for how are they going to get smart. The United States government cannot find, fix, and follow an individual or even a unit. All right? We're a static system. We're built to follow Soviet Union systems that start out in gestation and then build up over 20 years and then are field tested and then finally are put in the field. We're not ready for off-the-shelf warfare. We can't do wide area surveillance. There's a simple reason for this. Back in the 70s, we didn't have the money. And so we had a choice between precision surveillance and wide area surveillance. And we went with precision surveillance to find Soviet missile silos. And that's great. But have you ever tried to do a wide area map where you're using postage stamps at different times of day, different angles of look, different seasons? It doesn't fucking work. Okay, we can't do the last mile. The United States government cannot see under jungle canopy. It cannot see into caves, but we like to use B-2 bombers to bomb caves, okay? B-2 bombers fly into the United States to bomb 18 assholes in a cave? This is a really expensive solution. We can't do real-time change detection. We have one really big fucking expensive national intelligence tribe, and we have completely pissed on all the other intelligence tribes. So, military, law enforcement, business, journalists, non-governmental organizations, religions, labor unions, citizen advocacy groups. The United States shuts all of those out of the equation. We chose to go with secrecy instead of sharing. Now, that's changing. And I give the CIO for the DNI a lot of credit. He's the only asshole up there that knows what he's doing. Secrets are primarily valuable in the context of a rich, open-source knowledge foundation. You can't have smart spies in the context of a dumb nation. We have a nation that can't find the fucking next state. Okay? Much less another country. Americans, I'm sorry to say, in Latin America, they call us tontos útiles, useful idiots. That's what we are. Okay? Present company accepted. Spies only know secrets. Think about that. Spies only know secrets. Spies only know 10 to 15% of reality. They only know what they've stolen. They don't know history. They don't know context. They don't know culture. They don't know political, legal, socioeconomic, ideocultural, technodemographic, natural geographic, my first thesis 2 decades ago. Spies don't know what the fuck is going on. Let me quote George Tenet, intelligence prostitute, first class. Okay? George Tenet, speaking to all of the Allied intelligence chiefs, said, and I quote, "We don't know shit." I'm not making this up. So, don't send a spy where a schoolboy can go. Duh. As my 17-year-old would say. Now, other than the three guys who are sworn to secrecy, has anybody identified my son yet? God, you're a bunch of losers. Come on. You can identify him. Let's look at the eyes. Make sense or add value. America has gone wrong in two big ways. The first way has been to equate intelligence to secrets. Intelligence is not about secrets. Intelligence is about making sense. It's about understanding. The other way we have gone wrong, and General Ike Eisenhower warned us about this, is by allowing the military-industrial prison-hospital complex to basically buy the government. The U.S. government no longer represents the people of the United States. This is it. This is $60 billion spent on, and I'm being generous here, 20% of the value, because the 80-20 rule is one that kind of works. But the reality is that we're spending $60 billion on the 5 to 10% of the information we can steal on the 7 to 9 targets that Dick Cheney thinks will sell fear. Okay? We are spending less than $600 million on the other 85%. Now, I will tell you, I was a ghostwriter for the Marine Corps, and General Gray published an article called Global Intelligence Challenges of the 1990s. He published this article in 1988, and he said, we need to focus on terrorism, we need to focus on revolution, we need to focus on instability, we need to focus on all these other things that are destabilizing the world. Oh, by the way, open source intelligence is 85% of that. Nobody wanted to hear it, not even from me, not even from the Commandant of the Marine Corps. This is the slide I've shown you before. Oh, okay, is Blondie here? We know she's not a real blonde. I love her. I mean, you want to hear sexism? Hey, Blondie, let's go have a drink and work it out. Okay. Let me explain it, and I will explain it. That's a good point. What I have done with this chart is taken the 10 threats that the United Nations has identified, and I've gone back in time and looked at all these policy books, Mandate for Change, you know, everything the Democrats and the Republicans write when they're lobbying for positions in the next administration. And I'm going to have to change this because I'm about to talk to every committee chairman on the Senate, so I'm going to have to add agriculture, among other things. But basically, if you look at this, we're fucked on debt, security, and water. And energy, and ecology. And then you have these big dogs here. We don't have a strategy for how do we help the big dogs avoid our mistakes. For example, China is in the business right now of selling cars to Chinese. This is about as fucking stupid as you can get. Okay? Because there are a lot of them. And China has got 300 water-stressed cities. All right, there are a lot of issues here. And so we don't have this strategy, this holistic strategy that tries to help people come to grips with reality. Now, some of you may not have been at my other speech, but I love Trotsky's statement, you know, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. Well, this administration may not be interested in reality, but I assure you, reality is interested in us. Okay. So that's the end of the slideshow. Any questions? And this is completely improv. I'd like to get to bed by one, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. And yes, sir, over there in the microphone.
Hi.
What? Lights! Camera! Action! I'm short, fat, and bald. I don't think I'm a movie star.
All right. So I'm sure that if I look on Amazon.com, you probably have a review up of it already. But have you read the Pentagon's new map? And do you think they're implementing some of the ideas in that book in the government?
I have read the Pentagon's new map. That book should have remained an article.
Yeah, it is.
Is a well-meaning young man who has never read anything by anybody else, had some good ideas of his own. He has been overly influenced by Wall Street. I would place that book in about the third rank.
Well, he does talk a lot about connecting the intelligence community back with the rest of the world.
Mostly what he talks about in that book is how fucked up the Pentagon process is, which is why I gave it an extra star. Okay. It's not a serious book. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thanks.
The 9/11 Truth Movement has several schools. One is the Keene-Hamilton Commission. That's the official conspiracy theory. And that's a conspiracy theory that the first school accepts. The second one is the official conspiracy theory, but with some questions. The next one, sir, is the one that says we knew it was going to happen and there was a breakdown. And I think that's what you're alluding to, that we're stupid, we're incompetent. But sir, the one that's the most extreme.
I'm not a sir, I'm a Robert.
Okay, Robert. Robert, the one that at first seems to be the most extreme, but upon investigation it's the one that's the least of all the conspiracy theories. It's the one that's the least outrageous. And that's that the one I told you before that you were referring to, if you were leading up to this, that we're incompetent, let it happen, lie hop, really is superseded upon those who really care about this tragedy, not only for the heartbreak within New York, but even in this moment, what's happening with Israel and Lebanon, is my hop made it happen on purpose. That there's no laptop computer in a cave in Afghanistan, and 18 people who may hate us like crazy, but simply do not have the ability with box cutters to bring down a building. And
where are you going with this?
I want to know which school of... I want to know which school of thought you're in. Excuse me?
No, that's fine. Okay, stop right there. I'll answer your question. There are several converging themes in my judgment. Converging theme number one is that the U.S. intelligence community has consistently over the last 50 years, and certainly over the last 18 years when I first started this dogfight, and 18 years ago I discovered that 80 to 90% of what we needed to know about the real world was not secret, not in English, not online, and not known to anybody in Washington, including the menopausal grandmothers in the Foreign Broadcasting Information Service. Okay, and I use that insult deliberately. Unfortunately, managed by young white boys in button-down collars that don't know fuck all about the world. Okay, so theme number one is we've shut out 80% of the information that we needed to know in order to understand the extremist Wahhabism thing that was being pushed out. Theme number two is that the Central Intelligence Agency has been politicized for all too long, to the point that they have been forbidden to talk to opposition groups in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran, and elsewhere. Okay? So CIA is basically a castrated service that is limited to talking to foreign liaison, which hands them what they want them to know. All right? There's a third theme here. And I've read most of the books. In fact, I have a list on Amazon on books indicting Dick Cheney for 9/11. Dick Cheney was in charge of an exercise on 9/11. He was in charge of the entire U.S. government. He was using the Secret Service as his communication and control channel. There is a strong body of literature that suggests that Dick Cheney decided that he wanted to let 9/11 happen. There is a strong body of literature that says that Dick Cheney very deliberately allowed George Bush to make an ass of himself by reading a book upside down and then moving him around the country so that Dick Cheney could stay in Washington and be in charge. It is my absolute judgment that Dick Cheney is impeachable, indictable, and criminally negligent. All right? Now, there are other sub-themes in the literature. The FBI is probably the most moronic, incompetent agency in the U.S. government. Okay? And by the way, I am not Agent Steele. Agent Steele is a guy with one leg, okay, and it's spelled S-T-E-A-L. And when I was woken up naked after flying in from Australia in Chicago, they quickly discovered I was not Agent Steele. Okay? But they were beautiful, very young people. I'd love to meet the cheerleader again. The fact of the matter is that FBI and CIA have been dicking around with half-ass recruitments while shutting out people. It is a known documented fact that there were two walk-ins to the FBI, one in Orlando, one in Newark, New Jersey, a year prior to 9/11. And these walk-ins revealed the entire 9/11 plot. They revealed the names of the people involved, but they were what we would call virgins. Okay? They weren't in the records. And the 9/11, the FBI people checked their records and said, oh, well, we've never heard of these people, so you must be a fucking asshole. Get out of here. That's the way the U.S. government works. So I guess I would sum this up by saying that right now the neoconservatives and the radical Islamic fundamentalists love each other because they are using the politics of fear to steal us blind.
But you didn't answer my question.
All right, what's your question? In one sentence.
LIHOP, let it happen, still presupposes that people who, half of who have been discovered, they're not 19 hijackers, half of them have been discovered, and any of them, even if they wanted to, they simply couldn't have.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying you either LIHOP or MIHOP, and LIHOP is very destructive.
Can someone explain this question to me?
Let it happen on purpose. You're telling me that made it happen on purpose. Made it happen on purpose.
All right, next question.
I just ask for some humility because
All right,
Lebanon
next question.
Wouldn't be in...
Thank you.
Good evening.
Are you going to do a striptease?
No. Yeah.
I'll go first.
I don't think so, gentlemen. There you go.
God, she's gorgeous. Right. All right.
Well, thank you.
Good evening.
In any event, you were discussing the technological advancements going on within the CIA and what have you.
No, there are no technological advancements going
Prior
on
to, at CIA. Okay. Let me start over then again. The former CIA directors did focus less on raw or human intelligence for a time, ground intel, and they focused more on technological advancement, satellites,
Starting
what have
Stansfield
you.
Starting with Turner.
Now, you one can certainly see with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Iran what's going on there because there isn't much raw or human intelligence.
Right.
My question for you is this. How would you address this issue that because during a certain point, the CIA did focus on that, and now we're missing people in the field for human intelligence, raw like that. How would you address that issue?
I actually have a press release on this topic. If you go to my website, you will see a table of contents from my website. I realized I have 30,000 pages on my website, and it didn't occur to me until this year after I had a very bad experience with Wikipedia that nobody is fucking reading below level one. Mm-hmm. So I've created a sortable table of contents, and in there you'll find a press release called Revitalizing the Clandestine Service.
Okay.
Here's what it boils down to. In the 1950s and 60s, we had a clandestine service that looked like the United Nations. You would walk into the CIA, and we used to separate the analysts who we didn't trust. I mean, when I was a case officer and I was taken up to see the analysts in the 1980s, my chief of station said, don't tell them a fucking thing. Okay? This is how CIA works. Today, the entire intelligence community has been completely destroyed by Negroponte and this thousand person bullshit promotion above the Peter Principle. There is a very simple answer to clandestine intelligence, which is white boys don't know shit. You have to have multilateral, multinational stations in which the Americans provide the money and the processing technology and the management, and indigenous allies provide the street officers. Now, the problem is that CIA is married to this concept of headquarters-to-headquarters liaison, which is basically code for headquarters assholes lying to headquarters assholes who don't know any difference. Okay? The DEA model is much better. The Drug Enforcement Administration takes officers from the individual countries and it puts them off on the side, and they bond as a band of brothers and they do good shit together. And they keep their headquarters ignorant. This is the way to do it. All right? So if I were, and I've written several books on this, I mean, my first book, On Intelligence, Spies and Secrecy in an Open World, has a chapter with 14 specific recommendations, which you can find for free on my website if you just flip through, you know, refresh until you see the free chapter. This is real simple. We need a national collection agency that can actually get out on the street and get down and dirty. And Raul Goresh has said very clearly, we don't do diarrhea. Okay? It's easy to penetrate the Taliban. All you do is you take an 18 to 21-year-old, say, we'll give you $1 million in 10 years, go fuck up your life for 10 years and come back when you've got contact. Okay? This is not a problem. But we don't have anybody in America that wants to go do that except for this kid that Lyndon, whatever, that made it to Afghanistan, but he wasn't a CIA case officer or even an agent. Mm-hmm. He was just a dumb shit that wanted to go kill people. You have to have a clandestine... Well, first off, let me start with open source agency.
Okay.
You can't be a serious spy unless you first know everything that can be known legally and ethically. I will tell you, on the heads of my three children, the U.S. government doesn't know fuck all about 80% of the information they need to know in 183 languages they don't speak. Sorry about that. That's your fault. Because you're not telling your government that you expect them to actually be in touch with reality. What we have right now, present company accepted, is pinheads electing pinheads. Okay? And I don't know how we're going to change that. I don't have answers. There was a wonderful quote downstairs about questions are good, answers are arrogant. You're right. Absolutely. I don't have answers. But one, you start with open source intelligence. So if I were DNI, I would have an open source agency. I'd fund it at $3 billion a year. And once I have everything that agency can give me, I would say to all the spies, I'd say, show me why you're worth a goddamn penny on top of open source. And I will guarantee you the National Reconnaissance Office, the National Security Agency, the Central Intelligence, and the National Geospatial Agency would all fail that test. 90% of what you need to know about the real world to make intelligent strategic decisions is not secret. And we are just delusional. All right? You need a national processing agency. Intelligence is less than 10 to 15% of what you need to know. I want to turn NSA into a national processing agency where all the operational cables, all of the open source stuff, everything is part of this big mix. And the secrets are simply an add-on. You need a national analysis agency. And in fact, the problem with CIA is it only does secrets on hard targets. Our agricultural policy, our commercial policy, our energy policy, our health and human services policy, every single part of government is totally fucked because they're bureaucracies with private sector mafias that have no interest in facts and reality. They only have an interest in how they can make a buck and screw the U.S. citizen. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay. Next. God, you're gorgeous.
Yes, she is.
I'm sharing a room with my son, and I'm dysfunctional after 18 years of marriage. Next.
You had mentioned just now open source intelligence. In the past, you've told some great stories, and I'd love for you to tell them to this crowd as well. One that resonated with me, you mentioned, it's a perfect example of this phenomenon, the idea of tracking plagues before they happen mm-hmm. by just looking at pharmacy receipts. Mm-hmm. And also
grocery stores. Illegal immigrants use grocery stores.
And also, if you want to tell everyone the story about the map warehouse, that's always a jaw dropper, in my opinion.
Okay. You know, there is so much data out there, and I'm very, very interested as well as concerned about the way in which data is misused. I mean, you provide your information for one specific thing, and it ends up being accumulated by first choice or data point or whatever. But the reality is there's a lot of good that can be done with aggregate data. I am not opposed to what NSA was trying to do with pattern analysis on phone calls, okay? What most people don't realize is that 80% of signals intelligence is pattern analysis, not content analysis. But to the example, we can predict outbreaks of influenza and so forth in illegal alien communities by watching what's being sold on the drug on the grocery store drug shelves. Because illegal immigrants go to the grocery store rather than a pharmacy or a doctor. And I am just absolutely awed by Larry Brilliant and Google.org. Larry Brilliant is probably going to win a Nobel Prize one of these days. He's in the process of using a little bit of Google cash, 1% of their annual revenue, to plus up the global public health intelligence network, and it has intelligence in it. And one of the things that Google is doing massive surveys of blogs and other things and looking for references, and they're credited with identifying SARS early on. So this is extremely important. As far as the map thing, I think you're referring to the Chinese burning down the Russian warehouse? Okay, well, one of the problems with the U.S. government is we rely so heavily on satellite technology, we don't actually have maps for 90% of the world. And when I talk about maps, I'm talking about 1 to 50 combat charts with contour lines. This is important for infantry officers because it shows you things like defilade, which is how to get from point A to point B without being killed. This matters. We don't have these maps. When we went into Bosnia, the National Geospatial Agency was very proud of sending 16 laptop computers for 500,000 men with digital maps. 16 laptop computers for 500,000 men. What's wrong with this picture? Okay, anyway, the Russians did all of this, the Chinese maps, and we had a chance to buy them for $5 million, and both the National Geospatial Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency refused to spend the money. And the Chinese got wind of this, and they burned down the warehouse.
What was the level of detail?
1 to 50,000. 1 to 50,000 with contour lines. This is basically like in this room here, you would have four contour lines. And that's really, really important. Next question.
Yeah. So I heard about public diplomacy and how it's basically been gutted in the later part of the Clinton years.
Yes. Instead of blonde bimbo, I'm now using the term valley girl.
Okay. So you'd say it was...
What did
really
he say?
You'd say...
Well, no, come on. Okay. What was that?
Oh,
no, behind you.
Yeah.
The heckler. What?
The Robert Steele drinking game?
I don't get it. I'm missing something here, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I just heard... Where I heard about this kind of sob story about public diplomacy being gutted was from an undersecretary or former undersecretary, but I guess your opinion is that it was relatively useless beforehand, the way that it was done.
I am very, very disappointed with the U.S. Department of State. First off, the U.S. Department of State is supposed to be the senior service. It's supposed to be the primary focal point for developing U.S. policy about foreign affairs. You unfortunately have several things running badly. The first is that the Department of State, And I tried very hard for like the last 6 years to get the Department of State to understand that its original mission, its constitutional mission, is to collect, interpret, translate, disseminate, and explain all information in all languages all the time. They don't want to do it. They're a microcosmic bureaucracy that wants to be an end user of intelligence, not a collector of intelligence, and they simply don't compute the fact that the embassies overseas, which are now fortresses that shut out everybody, are supposed to be our eyes and ears for the 80 to 90% of the information that is legally and ethically available. Most of our State Department officers do not speak the foreign language properly. They don't get out beyond the cocktail circuit. Your average embassy, the expense account basically is one quarter for the ambassadors, one quarter for the four political, economic, consular, and whatever counselors, and the last half spread across 100 officers, which means that your average Foreign Service officer gets to host two lunches and one reception every quarter. Okay? And they're not given the time and the money to travel into the provinces. So the State Department is essentially a castrated beast that relies on handouts from people who are willing to be seen with Americans for free. This is not good. Condi Rice is as great a white girl as Bill Clinton is a black man.
Okay.
Okay. She is absolutely worthless. In fact, she's so worthless, she's worse than Madeleine Albright. Okay? Madeleine Albright deliberately repressed reports on terrorism because Madeleine Albright wanted to pretend that everything was on the right track. And we have Bin Laden today because Madeleine Albright didn't have the balls to go after the terrorists, and Bill Clinton didn't have the balls to go after the terrorists when they blew up two embassies in the USS Cole and Khambar Towers, which is directly traced to Iran, according to the FBI director's memoirs.
Okay. Thank you.
Can someone teach me the Robert Steele drinking game?
Anything over a six on the crazy scale.
Anything over...
And does the crazy scale go to 10 or 15?
Do you think there's something especially wrong with the U.S. intelligence agency if when the Pentagon was attacked and there is only one camera that is capturing this footage and there's no evidence of any plane of any sort?
Conspiracy theory. I am actually among those who is willing to believe that Donald Rumsfeld had a missile targeted into an unoccupied area of the Pentagon.
You're actually willing to believe this?
Yes, I am. But I have no proof. But I will tell you that I see no plane parts and I see no bodies.
Well, what's going on in like the CIA when this is a...
The CIA is not responsible for perimeter security for the Pentagon.
What about the FBI or any intelligence agency? How come they never investigated this?
Have you considered the possibility that Dick Cheney doesn't want them to?
Why? Because he actually orchestrated the attacks himself?
I don't know if he orchestrated the attacks. I believe it's something similar to John Kennedy's assassination, where defenses were let down for a very good reason. I will remind all of you that Operation Northwood was sponsored by the Joint Chiefs of Staff as a pretext to invade Cuba. American general officers and lieutenant colonels and colonels suggested the murder of Americans in the United States of America back in the 60s in order to justify an attack on Cuba. This is how bad our system gets. Do not underestimate the potential mendacity of your government at the political level. Not at the bureaucratic level, but at the political level. Yes, sir.
Okay, Robert, it's always fascinating to see you fooling the hacker community now in year 12.
Fooling the hacker community?
Yeah, I think it should be time with your charade. I mean, you can fool some flag waver and left gatekeeper script kiddies, but not realists. Fact is, 9/11 was an inside job. The scientific facts speak clearly for them. You only here for the only purpose to re-script the negligence theory.
I'm only here for the sex.
Your jokes go... And sex. Me too.
Take care of
them. I'm pro-sex. Steele, Okay, good. First of all, no planes hit any target. That we can prove from forensic evidence and visual evidence. Tomorrow we'll speak out on the visual evidence. Source? Oh, TV. As usual, the
He's
TV.
Holding a special session. He will be speaking tonight at 4 in the morning
in that room over there. I speak it tomorrow from 10 to 12 and can prove and will show that the...
You can come there
and all your other spooks. And by the way, the book you're referring to was Mike Rupert, another spook. Fact is, how long you want to continue with this charade, playing the big guy on negligence theories, while you exactly know that the scientific evidence alone speaks for an inside job? Control demolition, building 1, 2, and 7. And then we have the TV fakery, which clearly proves that the live broadcast was contradicting each other and shows completely two different aircraft silhouettes, which is a CGI, computer-generated image. And if you make fun of it, don't worry about it, because this is the most...
Who the fuck are you to say I'm making fun of it?
Let me
shut your fucking mouth.
Okay,
let me tell
but
you
I want
what's
you to make
on.
Fun of
shut
it.
Shut up.
Make fun of
shut
it. Make fun
up.
Of it.
I will give you time to respond.
Why?
Shut up.
Okay, I have you.
Shut up.
Here's
and
my
I will
question.
Speak for 2 minutes. Shut
Here's
up.
My question.
Shut the fuck up, and then we'll get your question.
Why Thanks. Is this evidence not in U.S. mainstream media while everything else is? Why is the evidence on 9M TV fakery not in U.S. mainstream media while the complete 9M Truth Movement is even on CNN?
Because what? We're stupid, moronic idiots that don't give a shit.
No, that's not true. They won't.
All right.
They
shut up and let me give you a serious
they said,
answer.
They said, oh, make better jokes instead of shutting me up. Why are you not? Why are not here to say...
Tired, not even wired. Okay, be quiet. I'll talk.
Okay, 2 minutes.
There is a very credible literature, and obviously you haven't read all of my reviews.
I read everything. I'm just stable.
Have you,
okay?
No, you haven't read my reviews. Give the microphone to someone else. You're done. I will answer your question. You have not read my reviews. You have not read my reviews of the last 25 books on 9/11. I actually have a list. You know what a list is on Amazon. I have a list. Do you know what a list on Amazon is? All right, then shut the fuck up and go read my list. Because there is a list. Shut up! There is a list on Amazon. There is a list on Amazon by Robert Steele on books that hold Dick Cheney accountable for 9/11. Okay? One of the things, just shut the fuck up, you're boring. There is definite positive evidence that requires an indictment of Dick Cheney and the 9/11 Commission, which had a lot of conflicts of interest. Every single person on the 9/11 Commission violated the congressional mandate that they not have conflicts of interest. There is absolutely, definitely a requirement to look into this at a popular level, just like the Warren Commission blew the Kennedy assassination, completely covered it up. The 9/11 Commission has covered up all of the problems in the U.S. government. There is definite evidence suggesting an indictment, but not necessarily a conviction, that the FBI, for example, was running the blind sheik in New York as an asset, and that the FBI was, in fact, the one who created the car bomb for the World Trade Center in the first place. And there is definite evidence that the original plan to attack the World Trade Center was in fact a plan to have a nuclear catastrophe. But in a negotiation with Pakistan, and because the Al-Qaeda was reasonable, Al-Qaeda is a reasoned enemy. They pulled back from nuclear because it might get out of control. And they went for this cultural target. So there are no clear answers. There is certainly a great deal of information that suggests that we have been deceived by our government, that this has not been fully investigated, and that it requires additional investigation at a popular level. I hope that's a satisfactory answer for you. Next question.
Robert, I want to say thank
Someone
you.
Someone in charge, I need another pitcher of water.
Hey,
or
give
vodka,
that man
whatever,
another six
vodka,
pack,
whatever
please.
This is.
Robert, I want to thank you for sharing your brilliance here.
It's not brilliance, yeah, it's attitude.
Well, an attitude too, baby. The question I had was about 9/11. And on Building 7, there's
yeah,
a lot of,
good question.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that said there's some controlled charges there. And then there's some people that actually were named as the people flying the airplanes actually came back to the embassies and said, hey, that wasn't me. Here I am. I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you address, is there any sources?
Let me take that in two parts.
Okay, thank you.
Part number one is these were not all Saudis. These were people on Saudi passports. Part number two is a lot of these people were trained at U.S. military bases. Part number three is we are not at all certain that the people who are claimed to have been on the airplanes actually died on the airplanes. Part number four is that the CIA building, the Secret Service building, Secret Service, Dick Cheney, okay?
Okay.
There was no reason for World Trade Center building number 7 to collapse as it did.
Right.
There is, in Crossing the Rubicon and other books that I have read, I do read,
mm-hmm.
There is some suggestion that there was a Pentagon-installed controlling thing on these airplanes, and Boeing and others have developed capabilities to actually fly airplanes from here to Australia and back without pilots. There is some small evidence worthy of investigation, but not conclusion.
Right, right.
That these airplanes were actually on override control from World Trade Center 7. And that the reason World Trade Center 7 was destroyed was to conceal all of this stuff. Thank you, sir. I don't know what the answer is. I do know that I don't trust my government.
Right. So as an intelligent officer, and what do you think...
There's a difference between intelligent and intelligence officer.
This is true. This is very true. But as an intelligent man, what's your opinion on the best way that we as people can have a good dialogue without getting too emotional about it, but bringing facts and not sarcastic innuendos? It's fun to do that just to have fun, you know, if we want to have a little fun. But in reality, to really get the truth rolling and find the accountabilities where we can. What's your best process on that? And thank you.
All right. I have said publicly... And I'm not a big shot, you know. I'm a guy that just survives on a salary and tries to do this stuff. And you're actually my most receptive audience, and that's a sorry-ass state of affairs. I have said publicly that we need two Truth and Reconciliation Commissions. We need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission on all the bad shit we've done overseas, including... preventing Iran from having its elected people and the nationalization of its oil. We have created many of these problems ourselves. We have sown the dragon's teeth. We also need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission here at home. Wall Street has deliberately screwed the working poor and the middle class. And we seem to just take it because in the past there was enough wealth to kind of keep us in beer and cigarettes and gasoline, and now that's all going away. It's the end of cheap oil. It's the end of free water. Disease is prevalent. There are a lot of things going on. I don't know what it's going to take. I am, in fact, despite my gloom and doom... what? Outlook. Beside my doom and gloom slideshow, I'm actually optimistic. I think, and if you look at my website, OSS.net, you've got a public daily brief. This public daily brief is free. The president's daily brief costs $60 billion a year, and he can't read it. Okay? So in that, when you click on that, you'll see a change on policy curve. I think we're right at the cusp. Okay, I've spent 18 years flatlining, and I think we're now about to go up. And we're not about to go up because of me. We're about to go up because of the Internet, because of Google, because of Doug Engelbart's open hypertext document system, because of semantic web and synthetic information, because citation analysis is moving to the paragraph and microcache level. There's a whole bunch of things that are about to start happening, and that's all good. So I've lost my train of thought. What was your question?
The original question.
Yeah, go back. Oh.
How do we do it systematically?
How do we do it systematically? Well, this group is well known for ignoring me. In 1994, I suggested that they create a server and that they start cataloging all flaws in all systems and giving the manufacturers 30 days and then posting them publicly. And there are a number of places that do that now. But I think this group specifically has lost the opportunity to be a major force in cleaning up the environment. And I'd also like to find spam killers. I mean, I'm talking guys who will identify spam killers by their physical address and then go in and burn down the place. There's a lot of good that could be done there. I get 185,000 spam a day, and it's cleaned in Sweden, and I see what's left over. But I think, I honest to God believe that collective intelligence, the wisdom of the crowds, enabled by the internet and the social networking that can occur as a result of the internet, I think in the next 3 to 10 years, we're going to see an incredible difference to the point that people like Dick Cheney can be tarred and feathered in cyberspace. In cyberspace. And one of the things that I'm very excited about, and I'll come to you in a second, one of the things I'm very excited about is the concept of retrospective indictment. And I spoke about this very briefly the other day. In 1975 to 1979, the U.S. Senate and the White House knew everything they needed to know about peak oil ending. And they chose to cover it up in order to keep the bribes coming and in order to keep American citizens, you know, happy on free gas. And so forth. That was treason. I think one of the things that we need to do is start to retrospectively evaluate every government decision in the past 20 years. And we need to literally, and I'm not saying hang them, jail them, whatever. We need to literally out every asshole in the U.S. government in the past 20 years. Okay? And I don't mean send them to jail.
How can you do that? Who's going to run the government? No one's left.
You.
Only.
I really believe in campaign reform, and I think the big problem that we have right now is that the people have gotten lazy, and they elect someone, and they let them go, and then they forget about it. One of the interesting things about the internet is, and I love the book No Logo, because it talks about people attaching themselves leech-like to corporations and basically holding those corporations accountable. It's not the government surveillance of you that we need to worry about. It's our surveillance of the government that has enormous potential.
Robert, I have to interrupt for a moment. I'd just like to remind all our esteemed guests that if they would take a look at the back page of our program, we ask that everybody respects the no excessive heckling rule. And if another incident happens again, we're going to have to cut this early. So please
beat the shit out of them. Okay, go on. Next.
I'd be happy to throw out the hecklers, but we give everybody a chance.
That's all right. I'm cool. And no one has identified my son yet, so I don't have to give away the keys to the Jaguar. This was actually Emmanuel's first prize in 1994, for those of you that are new to this. And the person that won the keys to the Jaguar asked, well, where's the Jaguar? And Emmanuel said, I don't know.
How's it going? I'm not really going to try to flame bait or anything like that. As it
I'm interested in answering.
Oh yeah,
I'm the entertainment, you know, which is pretty sad.
Sure. Well, the basic question is going to appeal more to the geek and the cause of the conference. Anyway, how do you suggest? You say we got to monitor more open source sources out on the IC, and you got to say the IC has got to scrutinize all these threat streams that are coming in from God knows where. How do you say that we scrutinize unsubstantiated reporting from people who walk in on the first time and say, this is going to happen? Thanks.
Well, I actually believe that the one really great thing about the intelligence community is what's called the proven process of intelligence. That's requirements definition, what do you need to know, collection management, farming it out, source discovery and validation, which is very important, multi-source fusion, and then compelling presentation. One of the problems we have today is that all of the departments of government that are not supported by the CIA, in fact, actually everyone is ignoring the CIA today, including the Pentagon, most especially. But the key here is that government is on automatic pilot. It's a bureaucracy. Now, I believe that sources that come in with unsubstantiated information need to be put in context. And one of the reasons that I'm sponsoring or hoping to sponsor 50 state community intelligence centers and networks is because I believe that there's an awful lot of information that can come from the bottom up that needs to be evaluated at the county level and the state level. And at the same time, these centers can serve as channels for global reality coming down to schoolhouses and chambers of commerce and so forth. The bottom line here is there is nothing about intelligence that says that it has to be secret. If you understand intelligence as decision support, with the proven process of intelligence as the way in which you do decision support, then you realize that there's an awful lot that we can do to improve government at all three levels, to improve corporations. I mean, I personally believe that corporations should no longer be independent personalities. I think that the individual managers need to be held accountable for corporations. And I think that... So I don't know if I've answered your question, but I do believe the major change, the two major changes I want to make in the U.S. intelligence community, and I say this with humility because no one is ever going to fucking let me do this, are number one, and I've written this in Forbes.com, we need to start with what we can know from open sources and what we can learn from others. The U.S. intelligence community starts with what it can see from a satellite and what its agents can steal, and it tries to divine reality without any attention to what other people can tell it. So number one is start with open source. Number two, go what the Swedes call M4IS, multinational, multi-agency, multidisciplinary, multi-domain information sharing. Sharing, not secrecy, is the operative paradigm for the 21st century. The intelligence community still doesn't get it. Does that answer your question? Okay, next.
I was curious about your opinion on a different matter. It's sort of related to the 9/11 stuff, but what is your opinion on Al-Qaeda as an organization?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you've heard of the power of nightmares.
Of the what?
The power of nightmares.
I'm sorry, the what?
The power of nightmares.
Oh, yeah. Nice movie. Someone gave me a DVD tag.
Yes. And I'm curious what you think of the idea that Al-Qaeda
politics
is
a of fear
association rather
well,
than actual organization.
Although I believe my CIA colleagues when they say they did not fund Al-Qaeda directly, when we did Afghanistan, we really did not see, we did not understand the power of three different things. We didn't understand that we were unleashing a Pandora's box of Islamic fundamentalism. We were basically training them in how to take down the Soviet Union, a power they then turned on us. Number two, we didn't understand the value of the Taliban's repressing the opium production in Afghanistan. Under U.S. leadership, Afghanistan is now responsible for 80% of the opium in the world. The warlords are rich beyond their wildest dreams, and Pakistan is processing this opium to level 4 and making a bundle, which helps sponsor its nuclear program. We also didn't understand the relationship between Wall Street and drugs. Drugs provide Wall Street with its liquidity, and there is, in fact, a recorded visit of the chairman of the Security Exchange Commission to Colombia in what is called the ultimate cold call. He went down to see the leaders of the FARC to suggest that they invest their drug money in Wall Street. This is about as fucking immoral as I can think. Is there more that you want?
Yeah, my question was more along the lines of its organizational structure.
I think Al-Qaeda is an idea rather than an organization. And it's an idea that has blossomed. Southern Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, India. I'll tell you what, those 8 bombs in India really fucked up American call centers. And Al-Qaeda is not stupid. They are going after the call centers. They are going after the foreign pipelines. They may one day go after water. What we've gotten ourselves into is a situation, a 100-year six-front war, in which America the Good is no longer a defense because we've given up on America the Good. We have given these people... I wish. I hope. When you live in a glass house, it's a really bad idea to throw stones.
Do you think the London bombings were associated?
I think the London bombs were Hezbollah, and that's what I told Scotland Yard. I think Iran is running rings around our ass. Iran, they're not ragheads. They are really smart dudes. And by the way, I think most of Iran is about nationalism, not about threatening the United States. Next.
Hey. You've talked a lot more in this conference about Dick Cheney and the role you think he's played. You remarked in 2004 that you actually thought he was going to be gone as Bush's running mate in the 2004 election. Why do you think it didn't turn out that way?
I underestimated Bush's stupidity. I'm serious. It's just unbelievable. And if you read the book 1% Doctrine, one of the things that Ron Suskin does very well is he documents how Dick Cheney has experimented with dictating policy without consulting the president all the way back to President Ford. Dick Cheney has a track record of basically usurping the power of the president he serves. And unfortunately, George Bush is just fucking dumb enough to let Dick Cheney do a lot of damage.
Hi, Mr. Steele. I'd like to thank you tremendously for being here once again.
I expect you guys to throw me out, but my son will be back and you won't know who he is.
At any rate, I have two brief questions, if that's all right. First of all, I was wondering if you could share any thoughts, views, or opinions you might have as to why roughly 400-plus skeletons were found on the HSBC building near Ground Zero, this past February.
Don't know.
Sorry?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, that was in all the local media, ABC, CBS, and NBC.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fair. That's perfect fair. I was wondering if you could describe to me your thoughts on the importance of net-centric or network-centric warfare versus urban warfare in the coming decades.
Well, what I think I want to do there is point you to Max Manwaring. I believe that belief systems are the seventh generation of warfare. And America has been largely oblivious to belief systems for the last 20 years, actually forever. We completely miss the fact that from 1988 onwards, the Saudi Arabians were sponsoring a very virulent form of extremist Islamism. And Americans are simply not paying attention. We are not focusing on this. And I will tell you, I mean, Howard Bloom, who lives here in New York, is a friend of mine, and he's written a wonderful book called Global Brain, as well as Lucifer's Principle. It all boils down to national power is based on the cumulative brain power of its citizens, combined with a cumulative aggregate understanding of what everyone else's brain power is thinking. And we have really blown it. I mean, one of the sub-themes, one of the lists that I have on Amazon is about anti-Americanism and blowback. I mean, I used to think the Bush-Cheney administration was stupid. Now I think they're just venal, and they actually have a strategy, and they know what they're doing. They're getting exactly what they want. But belief systems is where it comes down to. And if we can't speak all these languages, and if we give our citizenship away to every asshole that comes in and refuses to learn English, then fuck us. We're not paying attention to our national integrity, to our national character. You may not like this, but I think we need to bring back universal service with one distinction. You can choose the Peace Corps over the Army.
I agree with that.
When I was a Marine, we had dark green Marines and light green Marines. And that was an extremely important coming of age for me. This country has lost its cohesion. So I think belief systems is where net-centric warfare, it's not about computers. You know, any moron can do without a computer. It's about thinking. It's about understanding. It's about knowing intuitively what the right thing to do is. We've lost, there's a book called The Cheating Culture. America is a cheating culture today. Everybody that can cheats. And that is a prescription for self-immolation in every possible respect.
Look at Rome.
What?
Look at Rome. Rome collapsed not because of outside power. They collapsed from the inside out.
He's saying Rome collapsed from the inside out. I agree. We are collapsing from the inside out. The only good thing about Bush, and I said this in May of 2004 when I said why I would vote for Bush instead of Kerry, apart from his wife and his haircut, Kerry would be a placebo. Bush is radicalizing. I had no idea how radicalizing he would be. But I, honest to God, believe that Bush is a gift from heaven because he is pissing off so many people, we might actually finally get our act together again.
Thank you, Mr. Steele.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're one of the main reasons. You're one of the main
Suck
reasons.
Suck the microphone.
Like this?
Yes. Make love to it. Never mind whose saliva's on it from before.
You're one of the top reasons that I come to Hope every year.
And oh, that's sad. But God bless you. Thank you.
Not really, but I meant not really
then
sad.
You're a bullshit artist. What's your question?
You just chastise us, I believe, for two things, or for at least two things, one of which is not building a kind of database of manufacturing flaws and holding manufacturers accountable, and also for not making spammer assassins as well as spam assassin. I want to change that. I don't want to come to the next Hope and have you chastise us for the same thing. Can we open some kind of way of dialogue so that we can communicate to you more than once every 2 years?
My email is bear@oss.net, and if you put in the subject line Hope, I will read it and answer it.
Thank you.
I have two questions. The first one is, can you identify, I guess, the top three...
Is this Jolt Cola? What is it? Hang on a second. I have to evaluate this thing that I've been given. What is this? Is it a cheap beer? I'm holding out for the good stuff. Go on. Thank you.
Could you just recap for us who you think the top three...
You're not going to get me drunk.
Okay. The top three elected or appointed good guys within the government currently, if they exist. And the second question I have is, at what point do you think you'll reach the level where you will become victim of a frame job or an engineered accident?
Well, let me take those one at a time. I don't know the top people in government personally well enough to say good things about them. I think that John McCain used to be one of my top people, as did Colin Powell. But John McCain has become a born-again Bushophile, and I think he's too willing to sell out to the evangelical lunatics in order to be the Republican candidate. But I admire John McCain very much, as I continue to admire Colin Powell. And if Colin Powell were to make a resurgence and come back and basically say, I screwed up, I would trust him to be a good person. Tony Zinni, Marine Corps General Tony Zinni, is a gem waiting to be discovered by America. Tony Zinni taught me that relationships matter. And I have a very low social IQ. And I'm telling you, he really made me understand that you cannot be in relationship with nations unless you're in relationship with people at the individual level, at every level of those nations. So Tony Zinni, I think, gets my vote for top candidate for the future. Everyone else, they're losers. They're basically prostitutes that have sold out to keep their jobs. And I'm very interested in seeing if 2006 causes kind of a turnover of the incumbencies, and I don't know. Now, as far as getting an accident, I think that the Dick Cheneys of the world think that I'm a trivial... In fact, I'm not even sure they know who... Actually, I know they know I'm alive, but... I have challenged the DNI to an intelligence duel through press releases. He very wisely chose not to answer. But I won such a duel before the Aspen Brown Commission with six phone calls. I have faxed the White House, and on my website you'll find a couple of letters that I sent to Condi Rice early on, a couple of them responding to questions she had and one of them tarring her. I mean, when Condi Rice said the dissent is treason, I instantly knew she was an idiot in the bottom line fundamental sense of the word, okay? I mean, to say that dissent is treason is selling out in the worst possible way. I don't think I'll have an accident. I think I'm getting much healthier. I'm 54 years old. I drink less. I'm on medication. It helps. I have a loving family and a saint for a wife. So I don't think I'll have an accident. I think you guys are more dangerous than I am.
I actually just have one quick follow-up question to that. If you could pick any one appointed position within the government to be appointed to, what would it be?
I would be torn between being the president's 24/7 valet so that I could literally be... I want to hear and see everything he hears and sees and then whisper in his ear as he goes to his wife at night. What? Nah, the football... You know what? The football is bullshit. We're not even sure it'll work. Although I have considered being Director of National Intelligence, and I would probably like that because it's a massive slush fund that I could cut by two-thirds and do a lot of good elsewhere. My dream in life is to be Director of the Open Source Agency, but with a difference. I want the Open Source Agency, and I don't think this will happen, but I want the Open Source Agency to be a fourth branch of government that is independent of both the legislature and the White House, that has a budget that is a 1% of the national disposable income, that has a director appointed for life, and that has a board of overseers that are retired presidents, speakers of the House, leaders, whatever, you know, Bob Dole. I mean, basically my dream would be Clinton, Dole, the ghost of Tip O'Neill, and Sandra Day O'Connor as the chairman. And the job of this agency is to do what CIA is supposed to do. The truth shall make you free. CIA has blown it. I think the Open Source Intelligence Agency is capable of making America free by making public intelligence a reality, and I mean that down to the schoolhouse and Chamber of Commerce level. I will never get my dream, I don't think. Thank you. Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, you know, I think you actually just answered my question. I was actually going to ask about the Open Source Center at the CIA, which was created a few months ago.
I haven't answered your question. That is a crock of shit. I mean, we're talking not just lipstick on the pig, but really badly applied, ugly lipstick of the wrong color.
Okay, now you've answered my question.
They have seven people with bad Arabic following Arabic websites.
Seven people. How does that work?
Why don't we recruit Arabs?
Because the CIA security people won't allow you to recruit anybody who has parents living overseas. Look, I'm in a dogfight. Congressman Simmons, who I've supported for many years, has proposed legislation. I may or may not publish it on my website soon. I want his permission first. But he has proposed legislation that would convert the Open Source Center, which is the Foreign Broadcast Information Service that has fought me for 18 years, into the Open Source Agency. Now, let me tell you something. When you promote a CIA culture with CIA security officers and CIA legal and CIA personnel and CIA mindsets to that point, and you leave it under the Director of National Intelligence, have you guys already heard the analogy about the throwaway camera? All right, real quick. In The Innovator's Solution, wonderful book, he talks about how when the throwaway camera, the disposable camera, was invented, the inventors went to the camera shops and tried to get them to sell it. The last thing they wanted to do was sell cheap cameras. So they went to the grocery store. Okay? The Open Source Agency is the disposable camera of the information and communications age. The last people in the world you want to have run it are the assholes who have $60 billion a year for secrets. So I am working up on the Senate side, countering legislation. Then these two competing legislations go to conference, and hopefully somewhere in there it comes out right. But I'm working up countering legislation, which is showing the chairman of all of the different jurisdictions of the Senate that what they really need is an open source agency that is completely independent of the spies, that is able to provide high quality public intelligence to agriculture, energy, environment, EPA, you know, you see what I'm going with this, okay? The disposable camera cannot be controlled by the spies. I have been a spy. I know how fucked up it is. Real quick, and then we'll go here.
Sorry to interrupt. How much of that $60 billion is actually black that we don't even know about or goes on?
Well, that's $60 billion. That's my best guesstimate. It's somewhere between 50 and 70. I think 60 is actually low. That is the total budget of the National Reconnaissance Office, which builds really shitty satellites over a long period of time. The National Geospatial Agency, which is spending all of its money trying to... See, yeah, I got to understand, the National Geospatial Agency spent most of its money trying to convert postage stamps from precision satellites into wide area maps. This is not a prescription for success. National Security Agency is in the 1970s, I think, personally. This is wild speculation. I think less than 20% of their information is actually online. They've got all these reels of tape and stuff. Their linguists are enlisted people at the 2 to 3 level on a scale of 5, okay? We're not talking serious here. $60 billion on intelligence is bullshit, and $600 billion on a heavy metal military is also bullshit.
You've talked about how...
Somewhere in here, I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you've talked about how lack of accountability, government accountability...
Never mind.
You've talked about the lack of accountability in government,
yes,
and corporate accountability. So what would you suggest? I mean, are we ever going to... Are we going to get to a point where essentially the public has to engage in information warfare against its own government and against corporations in order to make them accountable?
I don't call it information warfare. I call it information peacekeeping.
What? Okay. Well, if I could just quickly relate an experience I had recently, in which I tried to make a corporation accountable for the service that I was paying for. I was basically threatened with being arrested, mm-hmm, by airing the fact that I was unhappy with the service I was getting, that right, I had paid for. So I find that there seems to be this sort of bullying, corporate bullying going on when you try to make them accountable to, you know, what they're supposed to be selling you. But it's to a level that I'm older than you probably
think.
Let me go quickly. Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a level that is disturbing me more now than it has in the past. And the other thing is, I'm curious about your thoughts, your opinions on Richard Clark and North Korea.
All right. Number one, I think that selective purchasing is the single best thing we've got going for us. And I credit that idea to No Logo. But I think Zalman is great. Is that his name, Stallman? Stallman, I read his book in the morning and listened to him in the afternoon, and that was absolutely great. Don't become captive to the beast. Why the hell do we need 10 brands of ketchup? You know, there's selective purchasing and judicious use. I mean, I love the Wired magazine article about how RFID is going to get to the point where you can point your trio at something and says, if you eat me, I'll kill you. You know, that's good. I think we're getting there. Now, Dick Clark is an extremely intelligent, world-class asshole who did his job. And I respect him very much. And his book was very good. And Dick Clark was ignored and denigrated by Bill Clinton and whoever Bill Clinton's vice president was. Who was it? Oh, no. He sponsored the legislation that named the Internet. Okay, anyway, Al Gore. You know, I mean, these guys at Madeleine Albright, Tony Lake is a moron. These people... Tony Lake didn't write his book on 6 threats until he was leaving the White House and decided he had to make a name for himself. These people were so out of touch with reality, it was unbelievable. And just in passing, I will mention that Bill Clinton got impeached for lying about a blowjob, and we still haven't impeached anyone here for stealing 2 elections, starting an elective war, lying to Congress, the United Nations, and the public, and 1 or 2 other high crimes and misdemeanors. This country is totally out of whack. North Korea is not a threat, and neither is Cuba. As of a year ago, the Treasury Department had 90 cases on terrorism and 900 cases on exports to Cuba. Okay? The fastest way to take care of North Korea and Cuba is to open the borders and shut down the idiot exiles in Miami. Okay?
One comment and 2 questions.
Hang on, what? Sorry. Great. Hang on. You guys are... Let's do you 3 guys real quick, and then I'm going to go to the bathroom, because what goes in must come out, and then I can either stand up here, I could do it privately, you know, whatever you guys want. I want to be as helpful to you as possible.
All right, I'll try and be as brief as I can. The comment, first off, Emmanuel wrote in his travelogue to Cuba that the same thing you just expressed, that the best thing to do would be to open the borders to Cubans.
And be the first guy to buy one of those 54 Chevys.
Absolutely. Second question, I don't know if this really, I don't know how to go about saying this besides being blunt. I've considered actually running for politics, except the sheer amount of bullshit that's involved as running as an independent, or the fact that there would be at least some sort of party influence in running as a party candidate makes it really impossible for someone who's not a pinhead to even be on the ballot for the pinhead to choose.
It really
so how
is
do you go
terrible.
About doing, so how would someone go about like doing that?
I don't have an answer, but I will tell you that there's a book called The Power and the Ambition, which persuaded me I never wanted to run for office, at least under these circumstances. The Power and the Ambition is about the way in which Newt Gingrich set about destroying Speaker Wright. And it was a very deliberate assassination attempt that succeeded. The other thing that book taught me is that our congressmen don't really work for us. They spend 3/4 to 4/5 of their time with their hand out as prostitutes. And that's not good. I will go back to Thomas Kuhn's Structure Scientific Revolution. You would have thought that 9/11 would be a paradigm shift. You would have thought that Katrina would be a paradigm shift, but it wasn't. I think what we're going to need is a constellation of a nuclear event on the East Coast, Los Angeles falling into the sea, which might be a good thing, Texas running out of water. These things are all coming at us. When they hit us, I don't know. But I have a real belief in the resurgency of the American people. And so I'm kind of throwing up my hands, and I'm glad I have a job that pays me enough to put food on the table. But I'm very, very upset about the larger context. And I really believe the United Nations has it right on these 10 threats. And it should be significant to you that the U.S. government doesn't give a shit about 8 of the 10 threats and is using the other 2 for the politics of fear.
And then my final question has to do with, well, one of those 2 quote-unquote threats. If magic voodoo, whatever you want to call it, you had the call on what would happen in Iraq, what would you do? And I mean, we don't need like specifics, just sort of like in broad swaths to say.
I will tell you right now that based on my reading, having not been in Iraq personally, but based on my extensive reading, we blew Iraq when Paul Bremer decided to become the proconsul. His first 2 decisions were, 1, no Ba'athists can be in power, and 2, disband these hundreds of thousands of people with rifles and leave them destitute. How fucking stupid is that? We lost Iraq when we turned from liberator to occupier. We lost Iraq because President Bush and Dick Cheney didn't have the personal integrity to listen to Army General Shevlaki, or whatever his name is, who said, we know how to do peace transitions after war, but we need this and this and this. And I'm very impressed by a book called The End of Iraq, in which Ahmed Chalabi, who, by the way, was fired by CIA for being a thief and a liar, Chalabi basically managed to suck up. And I believe that Chalabi was an Iranian agent of influence. And the best agents of influence get to the morons with preconceived notions and feed those notions. So America was sucked into Iraq. I imagine this. We took care of Afghanistan and Iraq, the 2 major enemies of Iran, and they haven't spent a dime. Okay? How stupid can we be? All right, the guy in the orange shirt is the last guy because I'm fit to burst. So I'll take your question, and then I'll go to the bathroom, and then I'll do whatever you guys want. All right, if you want me to come back to the podium, I will, for as few of you as wish. Yes, sir.
This is actually going to be a bit of a multi-part question.
No! No! Please. I can't do it.
I can ask later. Huh?
Yeah, I can ask. He would give me shit. What's your question? Why don't you ask one question? I'll go to the bathroom, and then you can ask the other one. So that'll kind of give us, like, continuity of operations.
Yeah, I'm
just trying to think if that would work because it's a bit of a tangent.
So. I'm dying here.
yeah.
You going over. All right, I'm going to the bathroom.